On June the 24th of this year, 2010, this Council of Elders selected me to be the president of the United Church of God. That's about 5.5 months ago. Leanne and I made the move from Seattle to Cincinnati willingly, wanting to be of service to God and His people and to help in the work of the church. Going back quite a few years before that, just a little brief history. Leanne and I were both called by God in the late 1950s and were baptized at Ambassador College in Pasadena in 1960. We made a promise to God at that time, as I think all of us did, that we would serve God faithfully for the rest of our lives and serve His people for the rest of our lives. And that's what we intend to do. That's what all of us intend to do. Leanne and I were married in 1963. That's when I was ordained upon graduation. And we were sent into the field ministry to serve God's people in the ministry as a church pastor. So she has served faithfully at my side for over 47 years. I mention this, as you're probably aware, I always do, somewhere, some way along the line in my messages, to honor my beloved wife, as I'm sure all of you love and honor your wives deeply and appreciate their contribution in your life and in your ministry. Where would we be without our wives? And so I want to thank my beloved wife, Leanne, who is sitting here today, because she also loves you, God's church, God's work, God's people, and her heart is in it as much as mine. And I just want to thank her for her invaluable service and help in my life and in my ministry. Thank you, honey. But what I really have to say is not about us. It's not about me as president. It's about God's will in all of our lives and His will for His church. That's what's important. We all know that the United Church of God is at a crisis point right now. We have serious disagreements in the ministry over a number of issues, and most of the membership is aware of this and deeply concerned about the future of United, as we all are. I will not be discussing specific points of conflict or disagreement in my message. I will not be discussing individuals at all, but I do want to let you all know clearly, in case you don't, in case the ministry is not sure, or in case some of the members are not sure, I do want to let you all know clearly where I stand and why I stand where I do as president of the United Church of God. I realize that there are some ministers, elders, maybe members, who have already rejected me as president. Some have made that clear, president and United. But still, I speak to everyone. I speak to all my brothers and sisters in Christ. I speak to all my fellow elders in the ministry in United, and anyone who may be listening or hearing. I speak to all in hopes that we may all be reconciled in God's time. When we are through this crisis and when it is over, and when we all learn what God wants us to learn through it all. And so as president of United, I speak to everyone. And so here is where I stand on seven major issues as president at this time, and also why I stand where I do. Number one, I stand in godly fear before my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom I must give account for my every word and every deed. I'm not worried about what others say or think about me, and I've read and heard things that hurt and are almost unbelievable. So I'm not worried about that, but I am deeply concerned about what Christ says and thinks about me. I think all of us know and realize that in the long run, and we all have the vision of God's kingdom, and we all know that that day is coming for sure, when each one of us will stand before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that loving individual, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, with those blazing eyes and with his righteousness, and he who knows all things, every heart, every mind, every attitude, when you and I and each of us all stand before Jesus Christ to hear his words regarding our life, our calling, our ministry, our attitude, our words, our deeds, that is all that is going to matter. No one else will be standing there in judgment of any of us, but we will each be standing before the righteous judge, Jesus Christ. And so I just want you all to know, in case you doubt that about me as an individual. Some of you know me better than others. Some of you don't know me at all. But I want you to know where I stand. And I stand not in fear of the internet and everything going on. All of that will fade away and become nothing someday and will be meaningless. All of the words that are going out there. I mean, God sees it all and knows it all. And that will come and go. It will pass. But I want you to know that every day, just as I'm sure you stand in fear of God, I stand in fear of that day of reckoning. And I don't mean in a fear of God that he's harsh or mean or cruel, but just to know that he is righteous and will be fair in his judgment, and that I will give account to him. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 14, because this is where I hope we all stand in fear of him and everything that we're doing. Romans chapter 14. These are very powerful verses here, beginning in verse 10. Why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. And I picture that time when I will be kneeling before Jesus Christ and waiting to hear his words in my life. And I hope they will be as you hope. Well done, good and faithful servant. Every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to me, to God. So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God. I think we all know the scriptures well. We're all pastors. We're all ministers. We teach these things. We preach these things. And there is another one in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 on this first point of where I stand, where Paul wrote to the brethren, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And so I've mentioned before and will mention again, and be talking about that, that I acknowledge daily before God my faults and mistakes. I fear God and know that I shall give account to him someday. Number two, I stand under the authority that Christ has placed within his church. He is the living head of the church, and I believe with all my heart that he had a hand in the forming of the United Church of God. Our form of governance certainly has its flaws and needs improvement, but I look to Jesus Christ and depend upon him and his guiding hand to solve our problems. I cannot solve them. I don't know any man who can, but Jesus Christ can and will solve the problems of his church. And I stand under the authority that Jesus Christ has placed within his church. I think we all would say we believe that and understand that and accept that. And there are many lessons to be learned over the years in the church of God. We are all tested in this area of recognizing, you know, where is that governing authority of Jesus Christ? Where is he working? Who is he using? These are always the questions every member, every minister, every elder has to ask himself in prayer and fasting and say, God, give me your Holy Spirit. Help me to see. Help me to understand, because God alone can see deep down inside each of us and how we're feeling and how we're thinking and why we think and feel the way that we do. So I just want all of you to know where I stand as president of the United Church of God. I stand and want to make sure that I stand under the authority that Christ has placed within his church. I've been a part of United since its very beginning, as many of you have. Had a hand in the forming of our governing documents, as imperfect as they may be. But I still believe in all my heart, with all of my heart, as I think back to over 15 years ago and what we were going through, that Jesus Christ was with us and did guide us and direct us to develop a form of governance that requires much humility, much cooperation, much working together, much patience, much love, much forgiveness. It's not an easy form of governance that we have. But I do sincerely believe that Jesus Christ was involved in it and still is to this very day. I personally do not believe that any improvement to our documents, although they need to be improved, and I'm sure they will be, I do not believe there's any form of human governance that we could come up with that would solve the problem of human nature, human ego, human vanity, human differences, human personalities, human temperaments, human points of view, and all the many differences that we have as people. What is required, as we all know, is more of the Spirit of God, more humility in our hearts and minds, more repentance, more acknowledging of all of our faults and sins and mistakes. I have always stood under the authority within the Church of God. I learned that a long time ago under Mr. Armstrong. So point number 3 is next. I stand with the present Council of Elders as the legitimately elected governing board of United, with the authority given to it by Christ, working through the General Conference of Elders. I just want everyone to know where I stand. I'll repeat that one. I stand with the present Council of Elders, all of you men, as you submit to Jesus Christ and his governing authority, as we all agreed. I stand with the present Council of Elders as the legitimately elected governing board of United, with the authority given to it by Christ, working through the General Conference of Elders. From the very beginning of United, I understood that as a member of the Council of Elders, which I was for the first 5 years, that I could give my input and my perspective, my point of view, my advice, my counsel, and then give my vote to issues. But I made an agreement, as we all did, that once we balloted on an issue and that decision was made following our governing documents, that whether that decision agreed with me or I agreed with it, that I would accept that decision of the Council of Elders, a governing authority within the Church of God under the GCE and Jesus Christ, that I would accept that decision and uphold it, whether or not I agreed with it, We do not require that every council member or every pastor or every elder agrees with every decision that is made by the Council of Elders. But our governing documents and our system of government does require that whether we support, vote for, agree with whatever decisions are made, that we will uphold that decision, even though we may personally or privately express our points of view with other people when they ask us an opinion or how we feel about issues. But publicly, we all agreed that we would uphold the governing authority of the United Church of God and the process by which we make decisions and move forward in doing the work of God. I have always supported the Council of Elders. Even when there were men in the Council of Elders I did not vote for or that I thought were wrong or that I personally felt had some pretty serious personal problems in their lives. And we all understand that. We're all human. We all know that as ministers, we make mistakes. We've all fallen short. And I recognize that. But my point is that regardless of these years and the many difficulties and challenges we've had in the past 15 years, as I learned long ago under Mr. Armstrong, recognizing that he, as our human leader, God had called him, given him the truth, but that he was a man and he made his share of mistakes, but he remained faithful to God. And I learned that lesson many, many years ago in the Worldwide Church of God under Mr. Armstrong and others, that regardless of what happens, put your faith in Jesus Christ, and never, ever in my whole life in the ministry did I ever take any action to undermine Mr. Armstrong or those that he put in authority over me, even when I knew of certain personal issues and problems that some had. So I just want everyone to understand out there that I'm fully aware of the issues that we are dealing with, that we are all concerned with, and maybe look at differently, feel differently about, have a different point of view, or a different understanding, or a different perspective, for whatever reason it may be. But I just want everyone to understand where I stand in the support of the present Council of Elders. I'm not a yes man. I will do whatever Jesus Christ puts in my heart and mind to do. And I think all of the men of the council know that. When it comes right down to it, doing what is necessary to do, I will do what I feel Christ guides me and inspires me and leads me to do in fulfilling my responsibilities as president in the United Church of God. And so please understand then that we are all human, we all make mistakes, but I can say, and I will say at this point, looking at every man who is here and who has served on the council, that I know each one of you quite well. I've been around long enough that we've known one another a very long time, all of us. And I can just say to everyone, all of you here today, and to everyone listening, because everyone is going to be listening and watching to what we say and do in these council meetings and what comes out of these council meetings. But brethren, we are all here together as God's servants and council members to make sure that we do what is right and best for God's people. And the point that I want to make here is that to all of you who are listening, every man that I have served with on the Council of Elders, I believe, is a man who has been sincere, a good man, trying to do his very best to serve God and serve the church, and serve the people. I don't know of any man that I have served with who is evil, who has maliciously tried to harm God's church or work or people. We all are men who just make mistakes at times. And sometimes we can become very strong in our feelings and emotions about things and about issues. I just want you all to know where I stand with each of you and the present council of elders and all that I have worked with in the past. I'm sure you have recognized me and for who I am and where I stand and my strengths and weaknesses and my faults and problems. But I don't stand with the majority of the council of elders as I have always done in the way the council has agreed to operate. It's always been that principle. You support the majority decision of the group, of the council, whatever group it may be at the time. And I have always done that with whoever was president, with whoever was in whatever duty or responsibility. And I have always looked at each man, no matter who he was serving on the council or in what office or in what position, as having been put there by Jesus Christ at that time, and put my faith in Jesus Christ. And so I still stand where I always have stood. I stand with the present council of elders as the legitimately elected governing board of United. And as I mentioned earlier, and we'll repeat one more time, I really did learn this a long time ago under Mr. Armstrong, who made his own share of mistakes. And yet I determined to remain faithful and loyal to God's government in his church, despite the faults, the mistakes, and the sins of its human leaders. That was a big trial and test for me a long time ago, early in my ministry in the Church of God, to come to recognize, as the scriptures make plain and clear with many examples of God's servants, that even the men that God calls who are his faithful servants can make some serious mistakes and at times commit some serious sins, but they can repent. And so because of that understanding that Jesus Christ is the head of his church, regardless of the imperfections and faults and mistakes of human beings, I have always made up my mind to be loyal to those leaders that God has put in positions of governing authority, no matter what their faults, mistakes, or sins may be, knowing that Jesus Christ, in his own time and in his own way, if they're not pleasing him and not doing his will or not learning or not repenting or changing or growing, that he will remove them. I think we all know that and believe that and understand that. Number four, and what I stand for. I stand for all the laws and commandments of God, especially his Sabbath and holy days, and will never depart from obeying him and loving him with all of my heart. I think most of you would say the same thing. But I just want to make that clear in case there is anyone who might think that Denny Luker is a liberal when it comes to doctrine or God's laws or commandments. I've always wanted to understand the concept of mercy and the application of God's law and commandments with righteousness. I know I haven't always done that perfectly, but there's a principle that I have operated on in dealing with other people, as I'm sure probably many of you have, is that I want to deal with God's people and treat God's people the way that I want God to deal with me when I stand before him. And I want him to deal with me with mercy, to be merciful to me, to look upon my heart, to look upon my attitude and my mind, to look upon the fact that I love him and I love his laws and his commandments as a way of living my life with all of my heart. And I just want everybody to know that, and to know that you know that. And that, again, any other things along the way that need to be repented of shall be, and eventually rectified. But for all who have ears to hear and who understand and know Denny Luker a little bit, at least, because I am a heart person. I have a head too, I do try to use it and think as clearly as I can with God's Spirit and God's help. But I am a heart person very strongly, and I know many of you are as well. You all have a heart. You all have a heart of love for God and for God's people. We're just all different in those ways. But I want to make it plain and clear that I will never depart from keeping God's Sabbath and holy days and commandments and from teaching that way and for trying to learn how to better obey God and keep His laws and commandments, not only in the letter, but more importantly as well in the spirit and intent of His law in my heart and in my mind. Point number five for what I stand for. I stand for helping to train and prepare a dedicated ministry to serve God's people, to prepare a people for God's service and for His kingdom. I think all of us would agree with that as well. That is very important to me as president. I have served, as I said earlier now, most of my life has been in the Church of God. And most of my adult years, I was ordained when I was 23 years old, or called when I was 23, and 3 years at college, and ordained when I was 26 years old. So I've been in most of my adult life serving in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And I understand the vital, critical importance of good training and proper training for the ministry and the eldership. That has been my heritage. That is our heritage. It's part of our duty and calling and responsibility is to make sure that we as a council and administration, that we make sure that we are planning and developing our programs. And I know that's partly my responsibility as president, to be sure that that is not overlooked, that is part of our mission and purpose. And that is to develop programs that will help develop and train those that Jesus Christ may be calling to the ministry. And so I stand, regardless of what you may hear or think. I think time will tell, and only time will tell, and you will see what we stand for, each of us. It is time that will tell where we stand and what we stand for. And with all my heart and mind and being, I stand for helping, preparing, and training more elders and pastors to be dedicated servants to God's people and to provide those servants for God's congregations, His people, wherever they may be in the United Church of God. And one of the purposes of the ministry, as we all know, as it says in Ephesians 4, is to prepare a people for service, to help prepare God's people to be His servants and to be a part of His church and a part of His work. And we want to do that. We're dedicated to that in the church and in the work of God. And it will be done as long as God gives me strength and energy and breath. I just want all of you to know, brethren, there might be different approaches to doing this and different ways of doing it, but we will carry on with the preparation and training of a dedicated ministry for the United Church of God and for His people. Number six. I stand for giving my life to help finish the work of God, to help proclaim the good news of God's coming kingdom to this world. So do you. I'm not saying this because I don't think others feel the same way. But Leanne and I had to reevaluate our lives a number of years ago when we reached a certain age. I think you all know that we were considering retirement at age 70. Our policies allow that. I think you have to be 65 and 30 years or something in the ministry like that. But we got to talking and saying, wait a minute, we're both still in good health, and we believe we are still of sound mind We hope so. We all do as we age. And that's certainly one of the greatest blessings that God can give us, is that we are able to have our minds that are alert and filled with God's Spirit and motivated by a desire to be a part of His church and His work. And I'm not saying in any way that it is wrong to retire. It certainly is not, because even when we retire from the full-time ministry, our service as elders does not cease. It continues. And that probably will happen in time for Leanne and me at a certain age, when maybe we get to the point where the physical energy and health is just not there to do some of the things that need to be done full-time. But I just want you all to know that Leanne and I, as many of you and your wives have probably made, I don't know what you're thinking about your future and retirement. Many of us are thinking now there's no way any of us are going to be able to retire. But I just want to reassure you all that I stand for giving my whole life to help finish the work of God. And even if it ends up sometime in the future going into retirement from the full-time ministry, as many have done and are doing today, of continuing to use everything that God has taught me and helped me to learn, to try to pass it on in every way possible, whether it's personally one-on-one through mentoring or seminars or articles or writing for our publications. I want to give my life and energy and strength and lessons and everything to help finish the work of God, to help proclaim the incredible truth that God has given us. We will get through what we're going through, as painful as it is right now, as challenging and difficult as this is. We will get through it. One way or another, we shall get through it, and we shall go on. We shall move on, all of us, because we have a purpose and a calling and a goal. We all believe deeply with our whole heart that our purpose as individuals, as ministers and elders and members, and our calling is to do the work of God, and to take the incredible knowledge of God's truth that He has given. And for me, it was both the Sabbath, learning about the true Sabbath day and what it pictured and reminds us of God the Creator and His coming kingdom on earth, and the rest that we can have on that day, picturing Christ Himself. But also, I think, the holy days of God and that incredible, awesome plan of salvation. I'll never forget to this day, after God opened my mind and beginning to hear messages and read articles about the incredible holy days of God, I'll never forget the incredible relief that I felt and understanding that this is not the only day of salvation. Incredible relief and peace and understanding that came through that knowledge and that understanding of that incredible plan of God. And so I want all of you to know, as imperfect as I am as a human being, my life is dedicated. I stand for giving the rest of my life, no matter how old, how long time goes on, how old I get. You're not going to find me quitting or giving up. I will get discouraged at times. I have recently. I will get discouraged. I will get down. We all do. But you're not going to find Denny Luker quitting or giving up on you or anyone else. I'm sure I have much yet to learn, much to repent of, and much to change. But as I said earlier, Leanne and I made that decision a long time ago, and we remind ourselves that we gave our lives to God, to Jesus Christ, and His service for the rest of our lives, however He wants to use us. And so that's where I stand with the church and the work of God for the rest of my life. And finally, in point 7, I stand for working toward reconciliation within the United Church of God and the Church of God at large. As Christ leads us and shows us the way, because I do not know the way to true reconciliation, but I know someone who truly does and who can show it to us and lead us to it and help us to get there eventually. We will all be reconciled in God's time. I think we all know that. I hope we all believe that. I certainly do. And I've said, and I'll say again, I have no ill will toward any brother of Christ, or anyone for that matter. I got over that a long time ago. There are times we all get angry about things, but I'm not an angry person. I have no ill will toward any brother for any reason over anything. And I pray for all and hope that all pray for me for God's grace and mercy and guidance and help that I can serve him and fulfill his will in my life. So I stand for working toward reconciliation, even though I know there are some who would say, I don't see that in you, but it is in my heart, even though I may not have done it perfectly or the way God would have me do it. I know he will show all of us in time the way to reconciliation. It can be a challenging and a difficult process. And no matter what happens as we work our way through this trial, I try to always look beyond that present situation and know that these will still be my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, even as we now have different groups of us. I do not know what the future has, and I'm not predicting by this what will happen now. I do not know. But I just want all of you to know where I stand. I don't want anyone to doubt, at least, I hope, to not doubt the sincerity of my words. You can certainly doubt the maybe imperfection of my words and following through and doing everything perfectly the way I would love to. But I want you all to know where I stand in support of God's church and God's work and this council, and will stand strongly and firmly, I hope, with the right heart and the right attitude and the right spirit as we work our way through the difficulties that we are presently encountering. Whatever I need to do, whatever I am called upon to do by this council or Jesus Christ or through his Holy Spirit working in my heart and mind and my conscience, I will do to the best of my ability what I feel God has called me to do as president in the United Church of God. And so in conclusion, I stand with love and faith and hope that Jesus Christ will see us through our present trials and prepare us all for his kingdom and help us all to finish the incredible great work that he's given us all to do. So thank you, council and guests who are visiting here today, and all my brothers and sisters in Christ and all of my elders. I do hope that you all understand where I stand as president of the United Church of God.